Today on Real Life Radio.
And so this morning, I wonder what is echoing in hell. If I had to bet, it would be we've heard it ourselves from his own mouth and we didn't believe him. That blows my mind.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere, and really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with the message titled Examining God, Part 2. You know, this series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke the physician can. Here now, as we continue in chapter 22, we'll consider how God is always in control. You see, previously, we learned that while the scribes and chief priests were examining Jesus, in reality, they were under the cross-examination of God himself. Through Jesus, God was fulfilling Scripture when Jesus answered his accusers that he was, in fact, the Son of God. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that when Jesus declared his rightful position as the Son of God, the Jewish council accused him of blasphemy. But for those who choose to follow Jesus, he gives us a reason for hope. Now, with his message called Examining God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Listen to this. I want you to take note of something. It's very, very simple, but it's profound. Regarding this verse, Jesus states it himself. He makes the declaration, Jesus. Number two, he begins by saying hereafter, and that is, there'll be no end to me. Thirdly, he says that he's the Son of Man, his favorite title of himself. And fourthly, he says, I will sit upon the right hand of the power of God. This is Jesus Christ's profession, confession of his deity. This was the proclamation that stood before them, and it stares right at them. He's looking right at them, and they're examining him. And yet the same proclamation today stands before us and examines us. Do you believe in what Jesus is saying here in the Bible? Now, this is fun. I gave you Daniel 7:13. Look at Daniel 7:14. To him was given dominion, glory, and kingdom that all nations, or all peoples, all nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one which shall never be destroyed. Bible students, circle verse 14, and you can draw a line over to it when Jesus says hereafter. That's the word. That is awesome. I could go home right now. I'm done. That's enough. Hereafter, Jesus saying, that's it. And then Daniel 7:13 and 14 answers perfectly. New Testament declaration based upon an Old Testament truth. Bible fulfilled. The Bible said, whoever this is will be the eternal one, and his kingdom will be established, and he'll be seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus comes along and says, ta-da, I'm that one. It's an amazing thing. It's an awesome thing. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Mark it down. Jesus says, but I say to you that every idle word you speak will be given accounted for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. There is nothing more certain and true regarding that verse than who you say Jesus Christ is today. That separates the sheep from the goats. It separates the non-believer from the believer. It separates, listen, those who have a relationship with Christ versus those who have religion with God. Big difference. By your mouth, Jesus said. And it all comes down to this. Who is Jesus Christ? What is your confession of him? Matthew 22:41. Then, it says there, Matthew 22:41. Then, surrounded by the Pharisees, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think, he says, about the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they replied, he is the son of David. A good guy, a big guy, important guy, but he's the son of David. Verse 43, Matthew 22. Jesus responded, why then does David, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, call him Lord? Look, no matter how cocky a boy will get, his father never calls him Lord. If you today have a teenage son and you call your son Lord, you're messed up. Okay, your son doesn't need a spanking. You need a spanking. Can you imagine? Jesus is nailing these guys. Watch what he says. Then why does David, under the power of the Holy Spirit, call him Lord? Why would David call his son Lord? The Lord said unto my Lord, verse 44, sit on my right hand until I humble your enemies beneath your feet. Since David called him Lord, how can he be his son at the same time? And they didn't know how to answer him. Jesus says to the religious leaders, and he says it to us today, if the Messiah that comes from David is just simply a really good man, have you ever had somebody say, Jesus is a really good man and I really, really respect him? Well, you just offended him. You terribly offended him. You just robbed him of his deity when you say such things. He cannot be a really good man. David said, and Jesus said, that the Messiah that would come from David's lineage would none other be God himself. And David said, he will be my Lord. You guys, think that through. The son of David would have to be born into the world like any son comes into the world. But this one would have history written about him. And the future written about him. It's this one who has divine authority. It's this one who arrives in Bethlehem on Christmas morning. It's this one. No wonder David says, my son to come, he will be my Lord. The virgin birth coming of God into the world. This is the Jesus of the Bible. And David said so. Jesus said so of himself. It's absolutely exciting. I'm so excited. Hope you're excited. I tell you, this just wells up inside of me. I'm having a good time up here. I'm learning stuff. I hope you are too. And so your answer to that question determines literally your eternal destination. And that's a big deal. In 1 Peter 3:22, the Bible says it's Jesus Christ who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. The beautiful thing about this church is that this power that we're talking about right now, he wants you to have that power. Isn't that amazing? He wants you to have that. Hebrews 10, verse 12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Can I offend you right now? I'm asking permission. In Hebrews chapter 10, can you guys leave that verse on the screen? Can you put it back up there, you guys? I want you to look at this verse carefully. We're talking Bible here. This is the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews should be read on a regular basis, truly. Just like you take vitamins, you should eat the book of Hebrews. Listen, when I say, can I offend you, I meant that with all affection. This is what I mean. But this man, capital M on man, do you see that? Because in the Greek, it's declaration of deity. The man we're talking about is the man Christ Jesus. But this man, after he had offered one, how many? One sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Take your finger out, okay? Point in the direction of where Jesus is seated. Go ahead and point up. It's okay. You don't have to point to your heart. Point up, okay? You could do that. You guys do this. The children's ministry does this. That's both are right. Both are right. But I want you to look at that. My dear friends, listen, when we come together for communion on Wednesday nights, first Wednesday of every month, we celebrate this verse. We recognize this verse. It is wine or juice, for that matter. You could use milk or Pepsi if you're camping for communion. I kid you not. We use matzah. You could use Krispy Kreme if you're camping somewhere. You say, Jack, that's horribly sacrilegious. No, wait, don't run out of the building. Wait, ushers, lock the doors. It's not sacrilegious. This is why. He offered himself once as a sacrifice forever, never again. You do not, no human has the ability or the authority, nor would we ever want to, subject Jesus Christ to the violation of Scripture itself to re-offer him up again to suffer for my sins when he did it once and for all and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. He doesn't suffer every Wednesday. He doesn't suffer every morning somewhere in the world. He did it once. You've been so set free. If you'll come to that truth, you will be gloriously set free. He's not suffering anymore. That's why the Christian cross does not have Christ on the cross. He's not on the cross. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Remember that. That should set you free. It's exciting. Okay, and also this, verse 70, Jesus reaffirms his rightful position. He reaffirms his rightful position, verse 70. Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" Well, for crying out loud, he'd been saying that in all of his great I am statements all along. See, what's different this time? Maybe he wasn't saying it loud enough. No. He said it loud enough before. You know what the difference is now? Are you ready for this? The difference is they've got him cuffed. The difference now is the numerical numbers are in their favor. There's no disciples around. Jesus is not defending himself, and so they're going for it. It is a disgusting thing, and yet I do it no injustice. It's a disgusting thing. When I read this verse, this is what I think about. Where you see someone who maybe is in a pack of guys, maybe it's a gang, and they come upon someone who they can take advantage of. One guy slaps somebody. Maybe it's a little old lady, or maybe it's some old man, or maybe it's some kid or somebody that they're greatly outnumbered. And one of the gang members slaps the guy. And all the other people, watch it. It's always the same. All the other people in the gang begin to see how the victim begins to react. And if the victim doesn't defend themselves, then everybody starts ganging in on it. They start jumping in on it. Why? Because that's how cowards work. That's how cowards work. What's going on is they are attacking Jesus with verbal things. They're smacking him on the face. And then what happens? People join in on it. It's a demonic frenzy. It's sick. It's human nature. Left to itself. It's called anarchy. No God in the thoughts. So man does whatever's right in his own eyes. And they're going after him. Every time Jesus had declared to them that he was the Son of God, they didn't do anything about it. They just sharpened their arrows because not only could they not, because it wasn't his time, but they wouldn't because they were cowards. Now they feel emboldened. And no doubt part of that boldness is demonic. Are you then the Son of God? Yeah, it's exactly right what you've said.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
I wrote in my notes this, if you're going to condemn me, then condemn me for what's true. Love Jesus. Well, you got me. His righteous position, he could not deny that. If Jesus was a joke, don't you think he would have somehow copped out, somehow changed his tune on the way to the cross? Skin for skin, doesn't a man do anything to save his own skin? He embraced the cross because it's where you and I were destined to have our sins forgiven. John chapter 17, verse 5 and verse 24. I'll read them both together. John 17, 5 and 24. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. Listen, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. What? That's awesome. That's eternal talk. There he goes, talking eternal again. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. His desire is for you and I to be with him in heaven. That's the position. Isn't it great? Have you ever been doing something, you guys, and you're doing it alone, and you wish somebody was there to experience that with you? In 1982, it was in the winter of 1982, I'll never forget it. It was on a Saturday morning, because I didn't have to work that day, and I was learning how to fly at John Wayne Airport in Orange County. And I was on one of my solos. And so I took off and went out over the ocean. And just began to rock the wings back and forth looking for whales because it was whale season. And so you just tip the plane over real steep and you look for whales. And I saw whales. And I was so excited and I'm talking out loud, going ooh and on and all this stuff. You know what the bummer was? I realized this really stinks. I'm all alone. There's no one. I mean, the Lord was with me, but he made the whale, so it's kind of hard to impress him. Lord, look at the whale. He'd say, I made it. Jesus, look, here comes one. I'm not only with you up here, I'm with them down there. So exciting. You can't share with anybody. You ever been in that kind of a setting? Oh, nobody there. No matter what, wasn't Jesus going back to heaven? It's where he came from. But do you kind of get the drift? He says, Father, I desire that they whom you've given me be with me. I want them to fly with me, Lord. Father, I want them to be with me. How exciting is that? That God would want to share heaven with you? With me? It's amazing to me. And then we'll end with this. The God of the Bible has come to us, and Jesus reconfirms his rightful place. Verse 71, and they said, what further testimony? Circle the word testimony. It's a legal term. For what further testimony do we need? We don't need any more words from Jesus. We don't need any more words from any witnesses, because they had hired, another gospel tells us they hired a bunch of buffoons to come to the hearing and lie about him. For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. And what was it that they heard? I'm curious. Let's all play along. We're going to come screeching across the finish line here pretty soon. Let's play along with this closing verse of this chapter that we've been in for about a year, I think. We don't need any witnesses. No more testimony. We've heard it with our own ears. We've heard about it from his own mouth. I thought about that. They had heard that Jesus of Nazareth had declared himself to be the Christ. That's what they heard, right? Will you agree with me on that? Yeah. They heard the Jesus of Nazareth, that's important, who, born down south in Bethlehem, son of David, legally and genetically, declares himself to be the Christ. That's what they heard. That's what they had been hearing. See, the issue was this. They didn't believe it. It all comes down to that. They didn't believe it. What further testimony? Listen to this. What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, church, listen. As I have meditated this week on that verse, I've come to this simple conclusion. The declaration that Jesus makes, when these guys say, we have no need for any more evidence, we have heard him, even from his mouth. If I were a good attorney, I would drag these guys into court. You want to know why? I would say, what is it that you heard? We heard that Jesus, listen, everybody, are you with me? Over here, are you with me? I never looked to the left. Are you here? Are you there? Sorry. Jesus says, I'm the Christ. You've rightly said so. I'm the Son of God. You got it right. It's kind of like, yes. And I'm what? I'm what? The son. Yes, I'm the Son of God. And what? And what? Yes, the Son of Man. I am the Christ. Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14. Yes, that's me. Eternal. Yes, the hereafter. Yes, I'm the one. And he's like this. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. The guys in the robes should have bowed down at that. You know what they said? Didn't I read a moment ago from Matthew that Jesus says, in the end, the words that you say will either condemn you or set you free? They said, we don't need any more evidence. We've made our conclusion. We've made our decision. What is it? We heard him with their ears from his own mouth. And instead of them saying, we believe him, they said, we don't believe him. And those words, this is what I'm thinking. If there's an echo in hell today, I think they're hearing this. For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. God told us that he was our Savior. We heard that, but we rejected it. Can you imagine? We've heard him with our own ears from his own mouth, from his own mouth, from his own mouth, from his own mouth, from his own mouth. Think about the echo in hell this morning. That's where they're at, these men. Pastor, how can you say that? Because I've read the Bible. They rejected him. They don't want him. And Jesus, who's a perfect gentleman, says, if you don't want me, you don't have to have me. I'm not going to force myself on you. And so this morning, I wonder what is echoing in hell. If I had to bet, it would be, we've heard it ourselves from his own mouth, and we didn't believe him. That blows my mind. But let's cheer up as we come across the finish line. It's a place where he wants you and I to be, at the right hand of God the Father. In Luke 12:32 says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. And then you know this verse, I love it. I quote it about as often as I can. John 14:3, Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And it doesn't take a spiritual Einstein to take John 14:3 and right here, Luke 22, verse 69, and say, we're moving to a really, really awesome place. You guys, Jesus says, I'm going to be seated at the right hand of God the Father and the power on high forever. And then Jesus says, and where I am, there you may be also. And the Christians should all go nuts with joy, right? And here it all comes down to this, you know, location, location, location. It really matters. It really matters. It's the place that matters. Do you know that place today? Do you know how to get there? Oh man, listen, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Examining God, Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace. But daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history, which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation, who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.